Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question of the rich young man as he comes to Jesus in today's gospel today. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he, in many ways, represents you and me. That there is this desire in him. What good must I do? There's an earnestness. He's kneeling there before the Lord. And it's a really beautiful question, that there's an openness within him. And yet it's not the most generous of questions. It always feels like there's a bare minimum aspect. What must I do? What's the bare minimum that I have to do to inherit eternal life? Rather than asking, Lord, how can I best love you? How can I best serve you? And yet we do find in him something of a generosity of spirit. He doesn't come to Jesus and ask, Lord, what are you going to do for me? How can you help me? How can you make my life better? He says, no, here I am. Lord, how can I serve you? Here I am, Lord, send me. That there's in him and in all of us what's called for as a Christian, that there needs to be found in you and me something of a disposition of generosity. That we have to have in our hearts a generous, open spirit to whatever the Lord desires to do. Because that we can be clogged up with our own stuff, our own ideas, our own plans, our own possessions, the things that we hold on to, and we don't really give the Lord space to work. So there has to be a disposition of generosity in each of us to say, okay, Lord, how is it that I'm called to love you best, to serve you best? We have to learn generosity. You know that. Those of you who have raised children, as soon as you teach them the word mine, it's over. Because then everything is theirs. Like, we're gluttons. We want everything to be ours. Mine, mine, mine. And we grasp and we hold on to. And so we have to be taught how to share. We have to be taught how to be generous. We have to be taught. We have to grow into that. And there's always a sacrifice that's demanded. You know, every time we come to Mass, we have to come with this disposition of generosity. If I'm coming to Mass and asking myself, what am I going to get out of this? That is the wrong perspective. You will always be disappointed. If you come to Mass looking to get something out of it, you will always be disappointed. We come to Mass to say, Lord, what can I offer you? It's like, what sufferings do I have, Lord, that I can present to you? At the very minimum, I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my time, my attention. I'm going to give you my devotion. I'm going to give you my love. I need to offer my sins to you. I need to offer my weaknesses to you. Lord, I present these things before you. But if you come here as a consumer, you will always be disappointed. My homilies aren't that good, and Father Dan gives you homework. Like, we don't come here asking, what can I receive? I came here to say thank you, to offer myself generously back to the Lord. We're entering into a season of stewardship as a community. To be a good steward is to say, I've received something. Someone has entrusted a thing or a person to me, and I am to steward this. Well, I have received something, and now how am I called to respond? How am I called to respond with what I have received? It's no longer about me. It's about this other person or this thing. And it looks different in different seasons of our lives to be a good steward. That a young person as a steward looks different with how they use their time, their energy, their gifts, compared to someone maybe who's older. Your time looks different, your money looks different, your energy looks different. And that at each time and in each season, we need to be asking the Lord, how are you calling me to serve you? How are you calling me to offer myself to you? I remember being in seminary and I wasn't able to have a job. I made no money, and so I excused myself from giving anything to the church. And then one of my friends, he's like, wait, you don't tithe? And I was like, no, I don't tithe, you know, you crazy. And but at the time, the diocese would give us $150 a month just enough to get in a little bit of trouble, you know, $150 a month to get a snack. And he's like, you should tithe that. And I'm like, but $15 isn't anything a month, you know. But it was so important for me to say, but I can give $15. Like, it wouldn't hurt me. But first you feel the pinch, right? First you feel the pinch. But giving helps me. It helps me enter into a spirit of generosity to say, I can divest myself of this and maybe make a sacrifice. You think of what is it, what are my possessions? What is it that I hold dear? Is it my time? Is it my energy? Is it my money? Is it whatever the Lord's prompting me to do, to step up and be a leader, to start including other people? And say, how, Lord, are you calling me to offer that to you? Stewardship certainly isn't about what I do one time and it's one and done sort of thing. It really is a way of life. It's a way of seeing the world, of recognizing how the Lord is present and active in your life. And he is. I know he is. Your presence here is enough to prove that to me, that the Lord is active and present in your life, that he desires you. He has a commitment to you. And once that's true, I have to ask, and what is he calling me? How is he calling me to respond? How am I to answer this prompting from the Lord? We sang during the responsorial psalm, fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. These are the dynamics of God interacting in our life. These are the dynamics of grace, that God fills us with his love. And then we sing for joy that God has done something in your life, and it can't stop here, that I have to sing for joy, that I have to respond to him in some way. You know, the Dead Sea in Israel, the Dead Sea is the lowest place on the face of the planet. I don't know if you knew that. Geographically, the lowest place on the face of the planet. And it receives water from the Jordan River. The Jordan flows into it. The Jordan is a tributary of the Dead Sea. I studied geography. I know some things. But the Dead Sea, nothing flows out of it. So it catches all the gunk of the Jordan River, and nothing lives there. It is aptly named the Dead Sea. It's just a salt wasteland of water. But because nothing flows out of it, nothing can live. Other bodies of water can teem with fish and abundant life. And the Dead Sea, because it's not able to give of itself, is only a place of death. You go in the Dead Sea, and if you have a razor cut on you anywhere, that burns so bad, you have no idea. Personal experience. But you and I, these are the dynamics of how God wants to work with us, that he fills us with his love. He does. I know he's doing it in your life. And we have to sing for joy. If we don't make that return, we create a ceiling. We cap our relationship with the Lord. That you and I are called to be good stewards because we've received so much. St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of my heroes, he has this prayer for generosity, and the first line of it is enough for me to just sink into time and time again. The first line is, Lord, teach me to be generous. Lord, teach me to be generous. Because we have to be taught that. Our hearts are stingy, and we can want to preserve ourselves, preserve our time, preserve our money, preserve my energy, preserve the people I want to surround myself with, preserve, preserve, preserve. We eventually start isolating ourselves from other people. We close ourselves in. We become the Dead Sea. And nothing flows out. Lord, teach me to be generous, to inhabit the spirit that can receive you and respond back in kind. Which brings us to the rich young man who comes to Jesus with something of a desirous heart. Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, I've done all of these things. And then we hear in the Gospel of Mark, this is so important. We hear in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He says, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me. And it says that the rich young man, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. This is a haunting verse for us. His face fell, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. What are the things that we're holding on to that keep us from following the Lord? That keep us from responding to whatever the Lord's doing in our lives? What are the things that I'm holding on to? What is dear to me? And help us to not forget the promise that the Lord gives us in today's gospel. Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or children or lands for my sake and the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age. And in the other gospels, he says, and even more in the life to come. That those who are generous with the Lord, Jesus undoubtedly blesses. And we don't do it to receive the blessings. We don't give generously. We're not disciples of the Lord to win his affection or to win his love. God already loves you. He has already chosen you. Jesus on the night of the Last Supper said, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. God could bear better fruit without you. He could do it. He doesn't need you for anything. And yet he chooses you to be part of his plan, to be a blessing to others, to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We're not good stewards to win God's love and affection, but we're good stewards responding to God's love and affection. So we need to ask for the grace, first and foremost, to grow in recognizing the places that the Lord is present in our lives. Lord, give me eyes to see. So often the Lord is curing the eyes of the blind. So often we're spiritually blind to what the Lord is up to in our lives. Lord, give me the eyes to see. And once I can see, I need to grow in gratitude. Like, how am I called to express my gratitude to the Lord? And from a grateful heart, we can be generous and ask the Lord, how is it I can love you best, Lord? How is it that you're calling me to respond? What are you asking of me in my family, at work, at church? What are you asking of me? How can I respond most generously to you? And then to offer myself fully back to him. To actually do the thing, to live the life, to be a true disciple of Jesus, a good steward who knows that I've received gifts and offers myself back to him. But let that verse haunt us. The rich young man comes to Jesus, his face falling, going away sad, for he had many possessions. Like, what is it that I hold so dear that I can place on this altar as we begin Mass, as we begin the Eucharistic prayer? What can I place here and surrender to the Lord? Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sister or mother for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more in this present age and more in the life to come.